on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. One of my favourite quotes ever is Man Boy David Bowie. The quote goes, I don't know where I'm going, but I promise I won't be boring. And that pretty much sums up Bowie's this season. I think he's about to agree. I'm delighted to be joined by two former guests, two good staunch Bowie's men. Although the Matrix might say different for one of them. Pete Sinnott and Brian Kelly. Lads, how are you getting on?
I'm doing well, yeah, doing well. Fresh from parenting duties, and I'm available for selection for Talca Park Friday night, so bring it on. I'll be in the cat and cage at 10 o'clock if anyone's looking for me.
Good, Brian.
All good, Jordan, yeah. Looking forward to talking all things Bowie's.
Yeah, so it was a few, last few episodes are mainly footballers, so it's good to get fans back in. I actually couldn't get Evan Ferguson on the phone, but we'll come again next year. So, suppose that's the tip off is where we left off, which was probably the fourth game, which was the Rovers game. Me, myself, I felt when we were watching it, we went 2-0 down. It was like just an all too familiar feeling for the last couple of seasons.
That's it in a nutshell, yeah. Like, I suppose, and you seem to have that reoccurring feeling every time we go a goal down. I don't know whether it's from last season or whatever that we, you know, we're going to die on our feet, but it hasn't been the case. And the Rovers game was a great example of it. I thought we fought back. We were fantastic. And, you know, the way Rovers have been playing in hindsight, I wondered, did we leave points behind us that night? Maybe we really should have went for the throttle and maybe went for the win a bit more. We kind of eased off it a little bit in the last couple of minutes and they probably could have won it. But I don't know. I hope we don't regret that as 2 points dropped instead of 1 point gained as the season goes on.
There's been a lot of those games though that we could have said, oh, 2 points dropped rather than one gained. But I think it's just the patterns of the Dublin derbies that far, like this season especially, they've all been kind of the same. We've played very well, but just sucker punches at the wrong times. But this time we were able to come back from it, which was brilliant. Just those sucker punches before there, they're just absolutely killing us.
Yeah, you know? It was a great buzz in Daly Mount that night as well. I mean, the roar for the second goal was, I haven't heard a roar like that in a long time, but yeah, we just need to turn one of those into a win. So hopefully that'll come on Friday, because the only thing that's letting us down, I suppose, a little bit now is the form in Dublin derbies. Pats, Shells and Rovers, our return hasn't been great in terms of 3 points, so yeah. We need to put that right. We need to win a couple of these big games before the end of the season.
Absolutely. So as you said, if you turn a couple of those Dublin derbies, you know, defeat or even draw a couple of draws into wins, like the complexity of the table completely changes in terms of, like, we had a got that win against Rovers, but 2 points doesn't and their point down. Even same as Pats, we had a beat, like that time we got beaten by Pats 3-2. Like, we 10 men for basically 60% of the match, and how did we not come away with a point that I will never know? But yeah. we need to get on to perform this coming Friday, which we'll talk about in a while. I did have a fear though, if we had to score the third ball, what would the consequences be for poor Aaron Green and Trevor Clark sitting beside Block A?
They were engaged, I think it's fair to say, weren't they?
Yeah, they were giving it as much as they got.
Yeah, absolutely. More power to them. That's what it's all about, give and take. We're not the type of supporters that get upset when players give it back to us. We're getting it every week, so we're well used to it at this stage.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the key talking points, I think it's hopefully, and it seems to have ignited the main man up front, Jonathan Afolabi. He's now got 3-3, but that was the fourth goal. It was like, you know, he seemed to have done everything up this season, prior to score goals, and I think we all said it, at once the results weren't going our way, he was going to be the finger pointed at. Strikers are scoring goals, so this is a problem.
It kind of reminds me of Georgie Kelly. Like, he was getting in the neck big time at the start of the season in 2021, and he found a bit of form out of nowhere and turned into the best striker in the league in the last 5-6 years. Got his move to England, but the way Afolabi's going now, I know it's only 3 games, but it's great to see, and hopefully he kicks on now, because I think there was a time there, I suppose we still are, but there's a time there they're kind of looking and saying, I think we need to get another couple of strikers in, because it wasn't happening. But it's good that it hasn't happened, you know. And he's taken his goal really well. Like, all 3 goals he scored the last 3 games have been cracking goals.
They were ones he was putting straight at the keeper.
Yeah. He's nearly a better player, all-round player than Kelly. I know Kelly obviously has the goals to back that up, but like I think Afolabi as an all-round striker, if he could add goals to the game, he really would be out there on his own. Like his all-round game, his movement, he terrorised defenders. And I'd love to see Williams just play off him a little bit. He causes havoc, and if Williams could pop in from the left or even up off him, I think it'd be a great two-ball, the two of them up front, you know.
Seems to have a good understanding with Clark as well, especially the last couple of home games that Clark's come on and he just fed him all the time. The third goal against Dundalk was just incredible.
Yeah.
The pass through from one end of the pitch to the other, 1-2-3, bang, goal. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, must be great for the midfielders. They can fire it into him. He'll hold it. They can get up. Like that's why McManus and Clark are getting these goals because he's holding it. They're up supporting him and the ball's not disappearing when it goes up top, you know.
I think we've started feeding them in behind a lot more as well. There was a lot of that the other night where it was just going in behind the defender and he was running onto it and he would love that. That's where the first goal, McManus' goal, came from, the cross across. But like I think we've kind of cut out the long ball up to his head because it just wasn't working.
Yeah. I hope Paddy Barrett plays on Friday. I really do. Just pin Afolabi down on Paddy Barrett and we'll all just have a great giggle at that.
Yeah.
That'll be the one for me.
Yeah, and Perry, you did touch on there. It's probably been a bit of conversation on the Twitter sphere. James Clark. It's a case of, he said, is he turning the super sub? I know a lot of people are saying he needs to be given a consistent running games, but at the same time, can really afford for a player not to be showing up consistently this stage of the season?
I don't know. It's just a funny one for me because I think like the last three games, I know he started one and he came off the bench in two, and the two he came off the bench in, he was incredible and changed the game. But I'm kind of tending towards writing off that Sligo game because everyone was brutal. There was no one performing. So I tend to write that one off. I like to see him start on Friday because I don't think there's many better options on him there. With Coote is still injured, like
super sub status.
Yeah, we're gonna need energy on Friday night, so I'd have him in the team on Friday night, that's for sure. It's horses for courses. It's game by game. You know, some games he's gonna be better off the bench. Some games he's gonna be better starting the game. But it's up to him to stamp his authority on it, and he'll only do that by doing it consistently. Like the Sligo game was poor. Back in, you know, he played his part on Friday, so he just has to get that consistency. That'll all come as the more games he plays. Well, he is going to be a smashing player. He's going to be at Bowes for, you know, as long as he wants to be if he keeps playing the way he can. I think he's a fantastic player. The energy, the ground he covers, he's an eye for a goal. He has everything, you know. He could be a really, really, really important player in the running.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose he moved on to Sligo away then. Serious smell of last season off it. The less said the better. It was probably the poorest performance, like second to everything.
It was definitely the worst performance of the season, definitely.
Alvarez's touch was awful, his passing was awful. I don't think he's been good the last four or five games. I think he's given away a lot of cheap possession where, you know, he hasn't in previous games.
Do you remember what the year we went down there? I think it was during COVID, wasn't it? We got tanked 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Very similar to that, wasn't it? We just didn't show up. Just whatever it was on the night, just didn't show up. And the importance of that game as well, like, you know, on the back of the Friday before where the results didn't really go our way, you know, we really make things hard for ourselves sometimes. Even a draw would have been a good result down there that night. But no, in typical Bowes fashion, we just didn't show up at all. That's definitely one to write off. Absolutely.
A couple of stinkers as well from Talbot and he wasn't alone there. There was a lot of poor performances. I know we were missing a few key players, but there's no excuse. We have a big enough squad there now, other than at the back, but it wasn't good.
The less said about Sligo, the better. I think we'll move swiftly on from that horror show.
Yeah, I think I said it the other day, as fickle as football fans go, as much as they'll tug you off in the corner, they'll want you out the door as quick as possible too, if you're not getting the job done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's amazing. You go into Friday then against Dundalk. I thought he played well first half. McManus had lost his man for the header to make it 2-1 even before Scott Casper gets going. But it's a great piece of skill. You just wonder then going into half time what the voice is saying to the players. Like, you've done it basically everything right, and just two moments, lapses of just causes going in.
Yeah.
You could feel the crowd kind of turning half time there, there was a few bills, and we dominated the first half. Dundalk, I think Dundalk had two shots and two goals. They'd only been in the box twice. But the character to come back in the second half then, and the subs again changed the game. Tuarek was excellent when he came on. Clark again, super. And just, it was a, I think, if we didn't win that, I don't think we were going to compete for Europe at all this year.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Like, even when you play well, as Bowles did in the first half, you go down 2-1, and your brain is just telling you, this is shite, this is rubbish, this is the same old. You know what I mean? But if you actually break it down, we actually played very well. But I suppose part of playing well is defending well, and we didn't defend well. The second goal was a horror show. You know what I mean? We have to cut that out. Like, we're pissing into the wind for Europe if we don't cut out goals like that, because you can play so well, dominate the ball, create chances, and then you're giving goals away like that. You know, it's just,
that's the thing.
Great character come back to the second half. It was fantastic. Like, you know,
the last three games, we've conceded 7 goals, but like each and every one of them have been very soft to concede. Like, they're not.
Yeah,
worldies, like, they're all avoidable.
Yeah.
And it's just it has to be wiped out very quickly. Like, I don't know, is it that we've no defenders, or I don't know what the problem is, but it just has to be fixed very quickly if you want to get any chance of Europe.
Yeah, you can't be conceding 2-3 goals a game and expect to get the business done, because we won't come back like that every week, you know. But brilliant 3 points. It's just amazing. With 10 minutes to go, you're looking at the table on live score and you're thinking, oh, we've made a ball to this, you know what I mean? Like, Shells were up our arse. Like, Pats were sailing away into the sunset. They were 1-0 up at the time. And then within the space of 10 minutes, we get our 3 points. Pats drop points. And the table just looks so rosy again. And you're saying, we won our 2 games in hand. We're back up to second. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so topsy-turvy in the space of 10 minutes that the season was flipped on its head, you know?
Yeah, that's been the story this season, though, isn't it? Everyone beating each other. And 1 week, they're saying, oh, Jesus, we might actually... we could come second here, or we could win the league, and then one bad loss, and it's, geez, we're looking down our necks at Sligo now coming at seventh, like, you know.
Yeah. It's the same again on Friday. Like, if we're turned over on Friday again and results don't go our way, well, I know there's only a couple of games Friday, but if Shells beat us on Friday, they're right up beside us then again, and they have the games in hand like we do, so they'll be fancying their chances. Yeah. So I think Friday's a huge, huge game. Like,
that's the thing. I know that there's the cup game coming around the horizon, but just, I think Friday has to be the priority. Friday, because if we win that, and then we have UCD, we win those two, we're up in second, we're rosy, we can concentrate on whatever cup you're, whatever you want. The Leinster Senior Cup final then going to be our focus then, you know?
Yeah. I've been told I'm not getting a ticket for that because I wasn't at the semi-final, so we'll have to put a protest in about that one.
What were we talking about? The
Leinster Senior Cup game.
Yeah, so I said that's
great night.
Great night. I did think fucking the agents did online did read far too much into there. People were like demanding these players be the squad and starting and all sorts. It was a great win for the night games, but Shells when they came out at them as they did.
It was a night like this. It was absolutely pissing rain out there, and I was leaving the house and I was like, "What in the name of God am I doing here?" And then the team news came through and I was like, "I hear." There's something seriously wrong with you if you're heading out here. But I was absolutely delighted I went to it. It was brilliant to watch. It was actually so refreshing to see the young lads putting out performance like that. And I actually said when I was at the game, I'd say if there was 3 or 4 older fellas there, I don't think they would have been able to apply themselves the same, because they're just so used to playing with each other, that kind of thing, you know. But like some passages of play, the first half especially, they were passed, moving the ball around a lot quicker than the first team. Like, it was great to watch. Like, there was a spell there about 20 minutes where they had Shells properly on the ropes. They got the 2 goals, but they could have been 3 or 4. Like, it's brilliant. Yeah.
It's great to watch. Like, the betting on it was funny. Like, I think Bowles were favourites before kickoff, and as the teams came in, there was obviously a flurry of money on Shells at 4-11. But it was just so enjoyable. I was all set to go to the game, and I had a wardrobe malfunction. The lads are still slagging me about it. I turned up in my sports gear to my mum's and went up to the shower to get changed. This is the excuse of all excuses. Yeah. And I had no trousers to go to the match, but that's a new excuse for me. But that's actually the truth. But I watched it on the Shell stream. It was fantastic. Like, they were very complimentary of Bowles, in fairness. Yeah. And like, to see the likes of Luke Byrne, Farrell, Ledwich, Kane, getting the run around by our kids. Oh, it was great for the soul, you know, it was brilliant. And then for them to get the come back and then we get the winner again, just better again, you know.
Great moment at the end there when it was 4-3 at the time and Farrell had the shot and he forced it over the bar and Kane Bourne got up and just roared in his face. It was brilliant. Yeah. And even at the after the final whistle, all the young fellas coming right up to the crowd at the end, it was brilliant. Great moment for them, and I believe the first team went into the dressing room after to congratulate them. Yeah.
Great to see. No, that's certainly one of the highlights of the season so far. It's great, and then hopefully he let those kids play in the final. I know he said during the week that he had planned on playing a bit of a half and half team, but after what went down in Sligo, he wanted them training and he wanted them, you know, so the reins were handed over to Crawley. But I'd be letting that team play the final again and have a right go at it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's something to start for them in their career anyway. You know, a lot of them, as football works, they won't, a lot of them won't become League of Ireland footballers as it just naturally works, but they'll always have that winning target to tell their family and friends.
We're going to see a lot of Kane Byrne. I think he's going to be one for the
super player. Yeah,
he's going to get a lot of games. He looks to have it all. He has pace, power, strength, aggression. As you said, he was getting up and letting Shells know about it when the
I think he played 90 minutes on the Saturday as well.
He's only back. I couldn't believe he's in the squad. Yeah,
literally
brilliant.
Called
great
back
to see.
A day, and he was brilliant. He was excellent. He was
fantastic.
So as I said, that was the roundup of the latest games, but. As you're talking about someone being called back, you might as well speak about the elephant in the room. Return of Mr. Danny Grant, or not potential return, I should say.
Yeah, like I suppose we're all speculating, really. I suppose we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but like, if he's going to improve any team if he's fit, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he was great for us. I think he played 73 games for us, 17 goals, but his pace was brilliant, and he really turned us from a decent team into a very good team. You know, the year we had the cup run down in Cork, up in Derry, was fantastic. Like loads of highlights, but
the hat trick and talk apart,
can you get him right? The hat trick and talk, can you get him right? And that'd be the worry, like spending money on him and then not being able to get him right, you know. So
yeah,
there's
a romantic feel to the people want to back at any cost, but you know, a lot of people go, well, Gerald Sullivan's earning this amount of money. You can't use him as every time a good player is on the cards, or anytime you want to sign a good player, you can't say, well, Gerald Sullivan's getting it, why can't he get it?
I think
if that's the case, you'd be bankrupt in a few years to play him.
Yeah.
I think it would give the whole place a huge boost. Like, I think the fans would absolutely love it, but like, you have to look at it both ways. Like, if he comes in and he's the highest paid player or whatever like that, and he's sitting on the bench, and then we go in December time and look to sign a fella who's similar profile, and we offer him money and says, why aren't you giving me the same money as him? He's not even playing, you know. And then that just opens up a whole kind of worms then.
Excuse the whole thing, Brian. I was about to say the same thing yourself. You're spot on. And not only that, but we've got to start renegotiating with some of our top players for next season. So if Danny Grant comes in and he skews the wage structure there, or he gets, you know, more than, you know, his fair share of the pie. When we're saying to Afolabi, we want you for the next two seasons, but he's going to want that. And Andy Coote's going to want that. And everybody's going to want it. You know what I mean?
And then if that happens and we don't get Europe for the third year in a row, that's us.
I'm not buying any more jerseys. Yeah. So we better get Europe. You know what I mean?
So, like, even, like, obviously we're a micro scale compared, but, like, even if you had to Liverpool fucking fighting, fucking crook enough to give Salah the contract.
Yeah. Listen, today was a good day for me. Like in Bowsland, we're not going to be, you know, strangled into signing players unless the deal is right for us. And that's how I see the Danny Grant one. And also, when you see some of the stuff about James McManus, it's so heartwarming to see. Listen, there's bids coming in for $250,000. We're behaving like a proper football club. This is all, you know, music to my ears. This is fantastic.
Wasn't long ago, there was fellas like James McManus who we were going across the water for absolutely peanuts, like for a bag of balls and a true training crowns is what we were getting for guys like that. And now that we're turning down offers like that, it's brilliant to see.
I think McManus in a 4-year contract, I think that was one of the first things. Obviously, Fenlon came in. That's one of the reasons why Fenlon was brought to the club, you know, to try to tie down the younger players and longer contracts and how we get around it, where, you know, he's director of football. He's been director of football for two previous clubs.
I think Long gave him that contract, just to let you know.
Well, it was renegotiated in April.
Just give the man the credit.
It's a big one now for us, as I said, getting, you know, the boys you want kept for next year. I think the majority are up. There's a few multi-years, but...
So, yeah, so I think Grant going back said, from what I gather, my sources tell me it's probably going to be a potential move to a League One club, or potentially probably leaning towards Bowes over Pats. That is as it stands again, but I think this is how, you know, how quick football changes, anything can happen. Mm.
Yeah, I said, look, all joking aside, I hope he gets back playing football for his sake.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, you know. He's a smashing player. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I hope it works out from one way or the other. Except when they're playing us, if it is Pats, if it's Rovers, he can go and jump off a bridge. But
if he wants to come back, I'd be delighted. I just hope that it would be on Bowers' terms. It wouldn't be held to ransom, kind of thing.
Yeah, that sums it up for me as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so in the transfer, I think we already sort of touched on it. We're a bit light at the back at the moment. You could Brian off air before he joined us. We said one left back, we've one right back, and three centre backs.
Yeah.
Paul's ready to play us for him. Yeah, I think where we are getting away with it a little bit is that Booker can slot in at right full, Flores can slot in at left full. And I think he's probably looking at Cian Byrne coming back into it again. I know we've already touched on him, but I wouldn't be worried if he was starting the game on Friday or the following Friday. I think he's just about ready, you know. So do we need someone straight away? You could probably argue the toss, but again, we're probably just about getting away with it because of the versatility we have there.
The way the season is now, like, I know there's what 12, 13 games left, but like one bad injury to one of the Polish boys and we're in big trouble, and then you're relying on two boys there. So I think there's something, a bit of business needs to be done this month, rather that be someone on loan or someone to fill the boots, because if we're an injury or two away from disaster, and we've seen that happen before, you know.
Yeah. Well, so, you see, all the other teams have 3-4 centre halves at least, as a minimum. Yeah. Rovers have 4, you know. Like, so, if you want to compete at the top end, you have to have those. Like, if we're going to have a good rattle at Europe, and hopefully we'll have a good rattle at the Cup, we're going to need bodies in. So, you know, whether that's Cairnburn or whether that's someone new, I don't know. But let's hope we're not caught short, because it'd be unforgivable getting caught short and missing out in Europe because we didn't sign a defender, or we were left short at right full or left full, you know.
Yeah, you'd imagine there isn't a wash yet. So now we've got plans off the field, infrastructure-wise, coming down the road. But there's also an element of don't cut your nose, spite your face. If you don't get Europe, it's big money missed out for next year.
I think the club have got it down to a T, though. They have their playing budget and then they have the other stuff. So like, I think there is enough of a budget there for us to sign players. But I think Devine has said it recently enough that it's not that they're just not choosing out the players. They just want to find the right ones, which is fair enough, because we saw what happened last summer. I know there was a few absolute duds signed, but there's a couple that we need to get in just to fill the squad, because as we said, like, we're an injury away from an absolute catastrophe.
Yeah, we have been blessed at the back with the two Polish lads not really getting in, just Paddy being fit more or less when he's been playing, and hopefully, you never know, Horton could end up coming back. He's one of those players who seems to be lingering about still in the melting ears of Bowls fans and around. So hopefully we can get a couple of recruitments in.
I think Paddy Kirk as well, his form has improved as well, hasn't it? Like, you know, he had a couple of ropey games, but I think the last couple of games he was very good against Rovers. He was better again on Friday, you know. So if we can get another 5%, 10% out of what's on the pitch as well, we're going to be in a good position. But I just think the next couple of games are going to define our season. I know I feel like I'm saying it every week about Bowes, like, this is the one. But Shell's Friday, if we can get a win on Friday, we're going to be in an unbelievably strong position, like with UCD, Drogheda, at home, then the next two league games, you know.
We'd really be turning it into a 5-horse race for Europe rather than it being... Yeah. Shell's been involved. If we beat them on Friday, they're gone, more or less. So I'd write them off anyway.
So yeah, we'd be 7 ahead of Shell's. I mean, like, they'd want to do something seriously spectacular to turn around 7 points on us. And if we could get our nose
in Dundalk.
Yeah, like, I looked at Dundalk's fixtures as well. When they get back from Europe, their next three league games, Dundalk are Shell's home, Sligo home, and Rovers away. So I don't know. You'd imagine Dundalk will win those home games. They seem to be very good at home. So we have to keep winning. We have to make sure we pounce on them when they're away from home in Europe, you know, and we get those points against Shells, UCD, and draw. We need 7 out of those 3 league games as a minimum, I think, you know.
If we do, we're
going to be in a great position.
I'm not one to usually cheer for other Irish teams in Europe, but I actually don't mind seeing Dundalk and Pats particularly win a couple of rounds this year because, like, I know the money, whatever, but sure, they all have billionaire owners anyway, so it makes no difference.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
but if they took their eye off the bread and butter, like we have done in the past and other teams have done in the past,
yeah,
it might benefit us, which is the big thing in the end.
And as I said to you earlier on, the way the fixtures fall in August, we could have Pats on a Sunday and Rovers on a Sunday after they play and somewhere on a Thursday night. So you're never going to get a better chance to pick up wins in Talla and Richmond than you will do if they're somewhere on the Thursday night. So we've a great chance, but we just have to start winning a few more games, you know. Like, and it's not going to take a monumental effort to get Europe this season. If we just go about our business, win the games we should win, pick up a few points away from home, we should be okay. You know, if we can just start winning a few more games, it's there for us, as they say.
Hopefully, yeah. Friday was the catalyst there to that. I felt like there was a bit of a momentum change there with the 2 late goals, and the atmosphere at the end was excellent. And you're hoping that kind of carries through to this week now.
Yeah, and you can imagine Shells fans walking out of Belfield, you know, like thinking they're 1 point behind us, playing us the following week, and all of a sudden, bang, we go get our 2 goals, and they're saying, for fuck's sake. And then Pat's the same as well. You know, they're 1-0 up. They think they're out of sight, and then bang. Yeah, so, you know, like, not only does it give us a bit of impetus, it gives them a kick in the bollocks as well, which is always nice.
Yeah, the one thing I will touch on what you just said there, Brian, is obviously not more than teams go through a couple of rounds here. I know Gareth Keller's is a few quid now with the industry boom. So the Derry owner, the Dock probably the only team who will probably benefit financially really getting through a couple of rounds going forward. But even like to win this, I know we're getting giddy. People talk about games in hand and all, but you know, you probably win the league with less than 70 points this season. Rovers have 8-14 games. I'm not saying it's going to be us to do it, but like between us, Derry, Pats, and maybe not so much. I said all people Dock are as good as the rest of them. I think there's could be a league left behind by one of them, given how poor Rovers have been, and the fact they'll have in between probably 8-14 games in Europe between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it is a poor league this year. You can see that teams are taking points off each other every week, and it is there for someone, and someone can go on a good run, like similar to the run that we had at the start of the season. If we could replicate that, you never know. But I still think that we should just be concentrating on finishing in the top 3.
Because we do that. I'm not even going to look at that. Like, we just need to get into Europe, as I said. Start the season into Europe by hook or by crook, and we go again then next season. You know,
anything else on the bonus then? Yeah.
Yeah, because people's expectations get skewed then. You know, we win a few games, and all of a sudden we drop that down to second, third. People are getting frustrated and annoyed. Our objective for the season is Europe, end of story. If we don't get Europe, it's a failure. If we get Europe, it's a success. Yeah. It's that straightforward for me. And I don't think anyone's idea of where we should be at the moment should be any different than that, you know, because we can't compete with Rovers and Derry at the moment, unfortunately. But what we can do is we can make sure we get into Europe. And that's the mission for me, you know what I mean? So that's where we should be looking to.
That's the be all and end all, really, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we also want a stag do next year, a decent stag do somewhere, so where we can actually get into the match, you know what I mean? So I'm not jealous at all looking at the other clubs, you know what I mean? I think there's Malta, there's Luxembourg, there's Iceland. It's hard. It's hard looking at it, isn't it? Gibraltar, so I don't want to be left out next year.
We're our way.
Save away on the line, bro. Save away on the line.
Where'll we stay the night before the Usher game?
The Malta, the Regency. But I said, looking forward to Friday now. Shares, but I was looking, obviously, double header now coming up this week and next week. I remember last year, and I got the proof up to the text Rotwell the week of the draw for the Cup of Texas said, Dave, where are you getting Shells away? Are they going to beat as well? And he said, and funny enough, the draw came out and I just texted straight away, what did I fucking tell you? And he goes, yeah. Graham. So, with a funny feeling, results-wise, I think we'll come out with a point on Friday. Obviously, hoping for a win, but I think we'll beat them in the cup. Obviously, looking forward to the league. Of course, don't get too ahead of ourselves, but Shells probably do have a bit of a lull over us, maybe, or we think too much into that.
Yeah, well, last year, like, we drew with them the first game of the season, and they played us off the park. We should have been beaten that night. Yeah. I don't know how we scraped the draw, but the second game, we bashed them in Talca. We beat them in Daly Mount 1-0, and then we drew with them in Talca, and then obviously we had the cup game. But they were the better team in nearly all those games. Like, across all those games, they wanted it more. You know, I was amazed we actually got 7 points out of them last year in the league when we probably deserved one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even the 4-1 game, we were poor. But I think we are due a win over them, and I think we're better suited to play against them this year. Like, I'm convinced only for the sending off last year we would have got something out of that game. We were just starting to play before the sending off. So no, I'm happy enough going into Friday, where I was fearful because I knew there was something coming for that cup game. As you said, Jordan, we were due a smack off them. Yeah. And the cup game really was that smack. But I think we'd be okay on Friday. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be many goals in the game. It'll be just about who can carve that bit of magic. Like, I know the first game before after the red card, they got that bit of magic with your man Levy scoring. But I think it's just going to be a tight game. That, you know, we know what way they're going to set up. It's just going to be the same as usual. Make it turn into a dogfight. So just a kind of a matter of us rising up to it and getting that bit of magic. I don't know where it comes from, but
there's no surprise there. And that's what they'll want to do as well. They'll work hard. You'll have to work hard to get out and off them, and they'll be looking to stay in the game as long as they can and hope for a mistake or a sending off like the last time. But we need to go and take the game to them and really show that we have the quality and go and win that game and really put our foot down on Europe and get a win and get 3 points and put ourselves in pole position, you know. Yeah. And it'd be nice to beat them as well down there. They fucking deserve a smack off us, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose we'll look at the midfield, because I think, you know, it's going to be starting at the back. Well, assuming Booker plays right back, I don't think Bart will be implemented just yet. I think they might wait till after that Shelbourne game before we really get him into the squad. I think he'd probably be brought in.
I thought he would have played in the 19s yesterday. 19s played Pats in Richmond yesterday. I thought he might have played, but he didn't. He wasn't in the squad, so... you'd have to expect Booker to play then if he hasn't played anything for Bolzac.
Yeah. What would your midfield 5 BP given 4-2-3-1?
Depends on who's fit and who's carrying Knox. Like, McManus has to play for me. Yeah. McManus and Clark, Flores, like, take your pick, really, you know. Play the players in form. I'd have McManus again.
I'd probably have the same team as Friday if there's still the same injuries, but I'd swap McDonald for Clark.
And leave McDonald out?
Yeah. I think he's better off maybe further back. I don't think he's a number 10.
But. Yeah, I think he's used as more as a pressing number 10 than a number 10 to put a ball through.
And when Ali Coote does come back, if he ever comes back, put him in number 10. He's wasted on the wing. We played our best football at the start of the season when he was playing number 10, and he's been out on the wing ever since, and I just don't understand it at all.
I think Akintunde is key to how we play too in the hold up. You've got two batting rounds in him and Afolabi.
He'd be back, do we know? Is there any update on that, do we know?
I don't know, like he was due to play. He was due to be in the squad Friday, and
he's on the bench.
And what about Williams? Is Williams?
I don't know about him.
Just can't get himself right, can he?
No.
No. So we're short up top and we're short at the back.
Will Danny Grant be in the squad for Bowls on Friday?
He might. Yeah, I think I missed Paul there actually.
just waiting on the international clearance for Danny Grant.
Yeah. Brexit.
Yeah. And his mom's going to make the cakes for after the match as well.
And I suppose as we look at it,
might be back in his house where we qualify for Europe again.
It's part of the signing on for your house party.
Have you had to put a score on Friday, man?
1-0, boss.
1-0. And we'll go mad and block out the main stand. We'll have a good celebration when the goal goes in.
Afolabi, goal score.
And cup results.
2 1-0s will do me. 1-0 in the league, 1-0 in the cup.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think
under, under 2.5 double in both games.
Danny Grant with the winner in the cup game.
Off the bench to succeed and bring us back to glory.
Yeah.
Suppose, man, thanks very much for your time here. A bit of a, more of a footballing update, albeit with our limited knowledge.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to keep the stories in-house from now on. We're going to talk strictly football.
Yeah.
Now, looking forward to Friday, man. Looking forward to a catch-up. As I said, I've been absent the last couple of weeks, but I'm back with a bang Friday. I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be drunk. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And are you a free man, Friday?
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Dreading it at the same time, like I do every other balls game. But looking forward to it.
As Ian Hopkins will say, if you're not in the pub by 1 o'clock, don't bother your bollocks.
So with that, we'll wrap it up, lads. As we do every week.
Yeah.
Come on the fucking balls.
Come on the
fucking
balls.
Come on, balls. Come on.
Because we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We had the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again. And sing